Chair, we appreciate it being recorded. He is going to be recorded, so that it will be at some point in the near future. It will be on the website, and you'll be able to revisit it, or tell people about it.
And on the website, there is a recordings page, so it goes way back. So Joe's up on there, Liz, a whole bunch of people are up there. Not just AA, it says what's, Coda, Al-Anon, and all that.
Come on up, Steve.
Well, am I allowed to read from his book?
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
I was like getting out of thought, and I realized I'm not associated with AA. I'm like, no. We're going to talk about it. I'm Steve. I'm an alcoholic and an addict.
Hey, Steve.
My sobriety birthday is April 22nd, 2022. That's exactly 3 years and 2 months of clean time. 1,157 days. But, you can count, right? But, 1,158 days ago, way different story, I think for a lot of us, when we think back to our, day before we made that leap of faith or whatever got us through these doors and why we've all managed to stick, I never, imagined a life that I have today. I might have dreamed about it, but I was always trying to figure out how I could fit alcohol back into it, or drugs, what's his name, number three. I'll get clean for 6 months, and then I'll go back to using. And they laughed at him. They're like, dude, if you do that, you're gonna be locked back down to this bed, And it's like, I can never see that far ahead. Listen to what you guys are saying, this is a very progressive disease. I believe it today, and I just start off by reading something that jumped off to me, because I've read this book numerous times, locked up in programs, all by myself. But when I read it with my first sponsor, this last go around, it kind of made sense. It's in the doctor's opinion. It's on page XXX. It says, there are many situations which arise out of the phenomenon of craving, which causes men to make the supreme sacrifice rather than continue to fight. The classification of alcoholics seems the most difficult and in much detail outside the scope of this book. There are, of course, the psychopaths who are emotionally unstable. We are all familiar with this type. They are always going on the wagon for keeps. They are over-remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. There is a type of man who is unwilling to admit that he cannot take a drink. He plans various ways of drinking. He changes his brand or his environment. There is the type who always believes that after being entirely free from alcohol for a period of time, he can drink without danger. There is the manic depressive type, who is perhaps the least understood by his friends and about whom a whole chapter could be written. Then there are the types entirely normal in every respect, except in the effect alcohol has upon them. They are often able, intelligent, friendly people. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been, by any treatment which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And my first sponsor stopped after we read that, and he's like, can you relate to any of those? Like alcoholics, that's just a few, and there's a whole story in the back about how people fuck their lives up and blame people, or did all the different, avenues trying to, control the drinking. I was like, yeah, I can't. And he's like, which one? I was like, all of them, all of them. It got to the point where after going through this with a fine tooth comb of why I shouldn't identify with these people, I had to settle on the fact that it says they're entirely normal in every respect, because I had to be normal to be in here, because I couldn't be in here and be as fucked up as you guys. I was different, But it's the effect alcohol had upon me and drugs, 100%. And I started using at a young age. I was a juvenile delinquent. I thought it was just a juvenile doing juvenile things, running with the wrong crowd, doing things that I wasn't supposed to be doing, breaking the law, getting arrested, slap on the hand, little time here or there, whatever it be. And, everything, but once I became an adult, then everything would be fine, No, not the case. I was before, by the time I turned 18, I was in high school in March, I was already in jail by April. because of the stuff I was doing. I was a convicted felon already before I even graduated high school and getting ready to go to prison. And that didn't even bother me. It did not bother me one bit at all. Because, you know, the people I ran around with, that was kind of like what you expected, you know? And, you know, I'm no Billy Badass by any means, you know what I mean? Just all, you'll always meet your maker, you know what I mean? And it sucks because my maker is really alcohol and drugs. You know what I mean? Because I could get up from a fight, but I've never been able to get up from this one until I had practiced this entire abstinence. But, you know, my using and all that stuff became a lot worse. And, you know, now I'm selling drugs and you know, and using alcohol, drinking and driving. You know, I once heard somebody say, if I got a DUI for every time that I drink, I'd have 365 DUIs. And I'm like, hey, man, I agree. You know what I mean? But it's like those little things, those little tidbits, you know, that like kind of made me stay because, you know, it made me feel like, because I, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I get nervous when I share, but it's like, I'm afraid to 110% let you into my life because not that we're any different, but it's like, there's still that little bit of me that I'm working on where I'm trying to like fit in, you know, a little bit at a time, you know, without, you know, I know you guys have never thrown me away because I came to these rooms at 15 years old with a nudge from a judge. And I sat, you know, I was from Vacaville, and I'd sit in there and I'd listen to these people with 30 years, 40 years, whatever, 20. And I'm like, fucking people, who stays sober that long? Like, this is not what I want. And then, you know, like, you know, I just thought if I learned from their mistakes, you know, like, you know, what someone said over here or that lady there, you know, I wouldn't be an alcoholic. And not to mention, I had never lost a house, a marriage, you know, kids, you know, fired from a job. You know, I'm 15. I'm like, yo, this is, you guys are fucking lunatics, 100%, you know? But like I said, fast forward, you know, it does get progressively worse because I did. I lost the marriage. I lost the house. I lost cars paid for, great job in the refineries. All that shit been a bottle in a pipe. And, you know, soon to become a needle in my arm. And, you know, I got sober at 22. And, you know, after I went on the run for a couple of years because I was getting ready to go to prison for 38 months, and I got sober. I had nowhere else to turn, you know. And my girlfriend, or my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she was like, yo, my family does not want me to get with you at all. Her mom worked for the probation department. Her family grew up across the street from mine. And they knew me as a kid growing up. And they're like, he's bad news. Don't fuck with him. But she's, you know, sat me down and was like, hey, I like you, but it's me and my two daughters or what you're doing. Man, you know, I like this lady. I'm a cleanup. So I did, you know, and in my mind, I thought that's all you needed to get sober was a reason. Not the reason, it was just a reason, you know, not knowing that it would fail me in the end once I got comfortable and complacent. And learning about these things later in life, you know. So I did, I started going to AA, you know, I got a sponsor, worked like four steps, you know what I mean? And then, you know, I'm smooth sailing now, you know. Now it's just a matter of, like, just don't drink, you know. And I show up to a meeting, and I ain't gonna lie, I felt a little betrayed, you know, but, you know, I've learned not to take things personally in this program now, this go around. You know, I'm supposed to be my sponsor that I just did this fifth step with, and I show up, you know, and, like, it was literally, like, you know, like, 2 weeks earlier or something. And we're getting back together, you know, at a meeting, and I show up, and he had an older brother. They were big white dudes, and his older brother was there. I'm like, yo, man, where's Zach? He's like, oh, that motherfucker relapsed. He's like, they better get a new sponsor. I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, he has all my information on him, homie. Like, he, where is he? You know what I mean? Like, freaking out, you know? And I'm like, so, and he's like, yeah, man, get a new sponsor, bro, or good luck. And he sits down, and I remember I sat at that meeting, and I was like, I don't need another sponsor. I did what they asked me to do. I did all of this, you know? And I went home, and I kid you not, I don't think I went back to a meeting, but maybe once in the next month. But then right after that, and mind you, I'm in a drug program, because I had to get back on calendar, right, for court. And the judge saw that I was changing my life. I had all these letters of character from AA, had a job that I would just go to and come home, because I knew I had warrants, you know, and I changed my life. And the judge was like, hey man, we're gonna give you probation again. And my lawyer was like, cause he told me that morning, he's like, yo, you're going to prison today. There's nothing I can do. And then I was like, all right, it's whatever. And then we went there, but he saw all these letters you people wrote him, you know, and my boss and, you know, and my wife, my father, people, you know, standing up for me, you know, not realizing that bridge was getting very thin you know, I couldn't take much more, you know. And the judge was like, counsel, come up, you know, because the DA was like, look, send this motherfucker to jail, you know, get him off. He's a habitual offender. And my lawyer turns around with a smile. He said, hey, man, you gotta go home today. I was like, what? So he does. He really, you know, lets me go home, you know. He's like, I don't see a reason to send you to prison. You're doing great. You got almost 2 years. And then that's when, you know, my sponsor, or, you know, like a little bit after that, relapse. I didn't get a new sponsor. And I was about finishing my drug program. It was the night before, I remember, the night before I graduated my drug program. And I drank. And I was like, I only got 1 day left. No big deal. And I remember I was sitting in the drug program in Vacaville. And they didn't drug test me. Tuesdays and Thursdays were drug test days. I totally forgot all about it. And I showed up and my color wasn't called. And I was like, I made it. But it sent me off, you know. Now I'm drinking again. And then my wife was like, hey, you can drink, but no drugs, no bad people in the house, you know. I'm like, okay, I got an enabler, I got one. But she gets me, you know. And, you know, I didn't realize how good of a woman she was until I worked these steps and realized the hell I put her through. You know, she was a good woman, you know, had blessed me with being a father before I became an actual father through her, you know, with my own son and in marriage. But, you know, I look back, and she would, you know, my trips, you know, to my friend's house to have a couple beers during a game would turn into like an entire Friday night. And I wouldn't, then next thing you know, I'm coming home on a Saturday morning, and then, you know, now I'm doing drugs, and now I don't come home until Sunday, then I barely make it to work Monday. And she never really said anything, and I just thought she was the coolest, you know, because I was like, wow, this woman is dope, you know. But, you know, it really did strain our life and our marriage. And then, you know, we saved money, bought a house, everything was good. I got the dream job, you know, my daughters are growing up. My son is about to be born, and I became heavily addicted. Well, I already knew I was addicted to cocaine, but, like, I was balls to the wall. And everything I could, you know, that's all I did. And drank in between. And so much so, like, I was high just the day my son was born. One of the most beautiful days of a person's life. I was high in the hospital, holding a rock star, not even drinking it, like, and they're like, are you okay? I'm like, it's the rock star, I gotta go, you know? And then, I mean, I bailed, you know? But it's just little moments like that I look back, and I'm like, man, I was a piece of shit, you know? And it's like, I used to blame people, because if you knew how I was raised, or, you know, because my mom was a heroin addict, or my dad was an alcoholic, or blah, 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 it's a poor me, right? Like, I know today, through working these steps, that, like, it was just, it's a sickness. It's the only disease that makes you feel like you don't have nothing wrong with you, you know? And learning how to keep it arrested, phenomenon of craving, I knew nothing about that until I, you know, went back to this program. I'd already graduated once before. And, I had it beat in my head, steps 1, 2, and 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you know, mental, spiritual malady, the mental obsession, the physical allergy. And learning about it kind of has helped me stay sober. But, you know, so going back a little bit, like, you know, I did lose everything, like, literally. And, you know, my house, cars, the marriage fell apart. And the thing I think what got me the most was I kept telling myself, that's all right, I'll be homeless just for today, you know. And then today turned into tomorrow. I was like, oh, by Friday, I'll be all right. I'll find a couch. And then next year, you know, it's like, 7 years later, you know what I mean? 8 years went by, you know, I'm a real homeless man, you know, living from South Sacramento all the way to Pittsburgh, Antioch, and every city in between, just walking freeway again on buses, rides with strange people, you know, you never know, you know? And, you know, I remember as a kid, I would sit there and we would, you know, you'd watch movies, you know, and you would see a homeless person really like sitting, you know, with the bag and the bum, like that's an alcoholic. And I remember when I looked into myself walking by a mirror one time, and I was that guy, I was like, oh my God. Like, but it's not the alcohol, it's because these people won't, you know, let me fucking sleep on their couch and blah, 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 right? And, you know, so I don't know, I fought it for years, you know, in order, hold on, let me, yeah. In my head, I'm like, I have to do this for a half hour. So I'm like, but you know, I'm like already so far, and you know, but, you know, so, you know, I was schizo the whole 9 yards, you know, And I lost custody of my children. You know, my two older daughters, they're older, my stepdaughters. They didn't have nothing to do with me, and I wasn't allowed to see my son. And so I just kind of picked up and moved on. It was like, except to being homeless, and I used to get high with this one guy. He's probably like 60 or something. He's dead now. I found out he died when I was in rehab. They found him dead of an overdose. But I'd sit there and pass the pipe to him in the bottle, and we'd get high and drunk. And I'm like, man, it's gonna be me. You're like, okay with it, like 100% okay with it, you know? And but deep down inside, like there was a couple times when I was homeless and I would sit there by myself, because I, you know, I kind of kept to myself. Because it's a violent, that's probably one of the most violent worlds I ever lived in. Like, it was terrible. Terrible. Those stories are for like a whole nother, like,
yeah.
You know, I just asked God sometimes, like, what do you want from me? Like, really? Because I knew deep down inside, like, I'm a good person. I'm a good man. You know, I know how to treat a person. I know how to give you an honest day's work. But I just couldn't stop drinking. And I really, like I said in the beginning, like, I had to figure out a way I could get sober to get drunk again and then not fuck it up again, you know? And that was, like, my main thing. And, you know, I cried, you know what I mean? Like, what do you want from me? Wake up and then, oh, that was just, you know, stupid. Who does that? Let's go back and get drunk again. And so I remember one night, you know, I'm walking on the freeway, and I was on in Vacaville, not Alamo, and I would I don't know why, like, I've never been suicidal, but I remember I was walking on the side of the freeway in the oncoming traffic, and I went out like one lane, and then they came and I ran off, and I went out two lanes, and then I went out and now I run back. All the way out to like the third lane, you know, and then I stood there. I was like, I can't do it. And I, you know, I ran off. And, you know, that kind of like, I sit and think about that moment today, and I'm like, there was something bigger in my life. There had to have been, because I'm walking the rest of the way, you know, through Vacaville, and, you know, I'm arguing with God in my head. And I remember I sat down on 505. And it's nighttime, like 9 o'clock, dark. And I swear I'm behind the white line where he pulled over to like change his tire. And this voice in my head was like, hey, you better move or you're gonna get run over by a car. And I'm like, you're gonna run me over with a car guy? And a split second later, a car blew me my leg apart at like 65 miles an hour.
Whoa.
And I mean, I had both my legs straight out, and I lifted my left leg up, and it drove right by my toes and across the other one, my right one. And I was like, oh my God, help, you know, like, and I just kept passing out. But then, you know, like, this, the messed up part, you know, I woke up in the hospital and everything, and then had the surgeries, and they repaired my leg. And I remember I got shipped to this house because I was a transient, you know, it's, you know, for people that need rehab but don't have anywhere to go, you know. And I was asking the people there, I'm like, is this a sober living house? And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I was like, okay, let's do it. You know what I mean? So, you know, if they don't know, then they definitely don't know, you know? So, you know, I'm trying to get to the store, but I can't walk. And, you know, I'm trying to ask these people, are you going to the store? Without, like, you know, hey, I need to give me some beer, you know? And, like, they're like, what the fuck? Like, but so, you know, anyway, so, like, that's all I was thinking about was how can I get to the store? And, But I had to have another surgery on my leg because my leg rebroke during the healing process. You know, when I tried to walk without the crutch and my bone broke again. And so I had to have another surgery. And I got to my surgery on time, you know. And, you know, I get there, it's like 8:45, check in, I'm in the bed. But then the doctor kept getting pulled away to, like, for people with worse injuries, you know. But, like, I can't make that correlation. I mean, I'm just thinking this dude's avoiding me. You know, so I like start flashing on these doctors. I'm like, yo, I've been here, my turn. You know, I've been here since this time. This is all me. And they're like, you know, someone came in an ambulance, blah, blah, blah. And I just was like, you know, I ended up getting kicked out of the hospital, right? It's like, because they're like, well, we're going to keep you overnight and you're going to be first one in the morning. I wasn't having it. I was like, man, fuck you guys, you know, point blank period. And I'm like flashing on these nurses, poor nurses, just trying to do their job, you know. And they're like, we'll give you a ride wherever you want to go. And I was like, all right. Give me a ride to Vacaville. And I lived in Pittsburgh. That's where I was living. I had nowhere to go in Vacaville. So I had them drop me off at this, you know, 7-Eleven, where I knew I could, you know, get some dope. And I remember we pull up and he's like, where are you going? I was like, right here. He's like, 7-Eleven? I was like, yeah. And he's like, I was like, yeah, you got like $5 on me? He's like, what? He's like, you got like five. What do you mean? I was like, look at me, dude. I'm broke. I got a broken leg. I was in the hospital. He's like, yeah, I guess, man. You know, and he's like, here you go. So I go into the store with my crutches and my broken leg that I was supposed to have fixed that day. And I remember telling myself, I'll go back tomorrow, right? You know, ain't no big deal. And I get my tall cans and I go sit around the back. And now the midnight traffic's sliding through, you know what I mean? And then I remember one guy was like, oh, Steve, what's happening? And this dude I used to, you know, kick it with. He's like, yo, I heard you got hit by a car and got killed. And I'm like, nah, man, look at my leg. He's like, oh, that's disgusting. And I was like, hey, you got any shit? You know what I mean? So now we're smoking and drinking. And then that lasted 2 more years.
Wow.
Before I even came close to going to a doctor. Because in my head, I literally believed, you know, it's like when I was first homeless, you know, when it was time, when I lost my car, I lost everything I could sleep in, I had to sleep in the park. I was like, okay, this is terrible. I don't want to be a week. No, because that's how captivating this disease is and how it's like trickery, you know what I mean? And so I remember I was getting arrested, you know, because I used to live warrant to warrant. And because I hated going to jail, you know, who likes going there, you know? But I remember this cop pulls up on me. He's like, hey, Hartman, you got a warrant. And I'm like, man, I'll go to court. He's like, no, you won't. He's like, you know the drill. So, you know, and he's like handcuffing me. And I remember he was like, hey, do you want help with your life? And I blurted out, yes. Yes, I do. And I don't know. Well, I have no idea why. I really, to this day, I'm like, that was, you know, God doing for me what I could not do for myself on 100% level. Because he's like, well, I'll tell you what. Go to court, go to jail, whatever. I'm gonna check back in like a month, and then we'll see. We'll hook you up with the homeless outreach program. I'm like, we have a homeless outreach program? Okay, whatever. So these like old ladies come, and they're like, hi, we're with the homeless outreach program. You know, we're here to help you get into detox. And I'm like, detox? You talking about like Shenum and Concord? And they're like, no. It's Public Del Sol now, but they're like, no, there's one in Vallejo in Pennsylvania. I'm like, what? Like, dang. Like, I would have went earlier, right? But I'm like, no way. Like, yeah, I'll go, you know. But so they're like, okay, well, we're going to give us like a week or so, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get you. We're going to get you there. Don't give up, you know. Cool, gave me some food, you know, like a blanket and shit. And I was like, right on. So now in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm going to detox. I'm going to do this, you know. And don't know why I was going to do it, you know, because like I said, I lost everything. And so they, you know, the time comes, the day that they were gonna show up, there was a guy and his lady, and they're like, you know, be here. So I was right there. And there was like this McDonald's and this gas station and this parking lot I used to sit at. And they're like, hey, we're gonna go to McDonald's. Do you want anything? And I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, you need to get the butterflies, right? Because I know what's getting ready to happen. You know, I'm all kinds of anxious. I'm like, they're like, all right, we're gonna go to the drive-thru. I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna go to the gas station and grab some cigarettes, and I'll be right back. They're like, cool, meet you back here in 10 minutes. I'm like, right on. So I go, I buy some tall cans and a pack of cigarettes and head out the other side of the parking lot, hidden some bushes for like 4 hours. Did not come out because I thought they were waiting the whole time. And finally came out and they were gone. I was like, whew, that was close, you know? Like, you know, like, whew, almost fucked up. You know what I mean? I almost went to rehab. but, you know, the thing is like, I knew I needed it, and you know, it took a while. And I remember they came back, and they were like, hey, you know, we've sent resources a couple times, and you bailed on us. And so if you really want in, we can get you in on April 21st. And this is, because that happened back in like January, and I thought they were gonna come like every week. And then, you know, like I knew my life was terribly over, you know, with the drugs and alcohol. And so finally, when they said we can get you in there April 21st, I was like, okay. And they're like, but you got to find your own ride, you know, because you're like costing this gas money and shit, you know. So I'm like, all right. And I hadn't spoke to my dad in hella long. And he lives in that town. You know, we'd see each other sometimes in traffic, and he would just look at me as he drove by. And I called him, and I'm like, hey, man. He's like, what's up? And I was like, yo, man, can I get a ride? He's like, what? I was like, can I get a ride to detox? And he's like, you serious? I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm serious. What do you mean? He's like, no, are you serious? Like, are you going to take this serious? He's like, I'll give you a ride, but are you serious? I'm not asking if you're fucking serious, you idiot. I'm asking, are you serious about this step of your life? I'm like, I think about it for a minute. I'm like, yeah, but what else? What's the worst that can happen? You know? Because in my mind, I knew it was, it's like, I didn't know anything about A, number three. until I got sober this time. But that's exactly all I needed was 6 months. You know, just give me 6 months. You know, let me clean up, look good for the cameras, and then I'm back, you know? I had no idea this life, 3 years and 2 months later, I'd still be sober. Like, I did not envision it. I didn't want it. I didn't even want a relationship with my kids and my family. I literally just wanted to get clean and go back to what Steve was doing, what Steve knows how to do. And then, you know, some of it's almost history, but, you know, like, because I, you know, I went to rehab. I made it to detox, and I remember, you know, I went to the meetings that they had there, and it was like my second night there, and I was in my room, and I bawled, I cried, because I knew, like, alcohol and drugs was, like, my best friend, 100%, you know? And I know what being sober entails. You know, I just didn't know really how to go about it. You know, like the one day at a time thing, I've heard it before, but like, you know, just not drinking right now is all that, well, all I can do, you know? And, you know, it took some time to get used to. It still does, you know, like, I had a buddy at work ask me one time, he's like, hey man, if some girls are kicking it, man, and they wanted to go drink and shit, I'm like, no, bro, I can't do it. He's like, why? I was like, because it'll kill me. And I can say that today. You know, I'm a proud member of this program because I have a desire to change. And I never had a desire before. Like that one word, desire, is huge. Because I may not be good at change. I may not, you know, I might resist. I might, you know, want to go a little left or a little right. But like, all in all my momentum is kind of going towards this ultimate goal of like what we all do together collectively. You know, we, you know, it's that purpose, you know, and stay sober, help another alcoholic achieve sobriety, you know. You know, some, you know, one day someone's gonna ask me, you know, to sponsor them again, and hopefully they'll make it, you know, given that, you know, I can point them in the right direction. You know, but since I've been sober, you know, I had to have another surgery because my leg was so terribly messed up, you know. And a lot of you people, or a good chunk of you people, like Janine, came and see me when I was in the hospital because they're like, we're not letting you get away from beatings just because you're in the hospital. And I'm not gonna lie, I kind of wanted that time to like rethink my life, but like, you know, my sponsor Eric, you know what I mean, and Janine, you know, would show up, and I'm like, God damn, these people are for real, you know. but it's what I needed, because I went in for surgery April 12, 2023, and I had 1 year of sobriety April 22nd, 2023. So you know what I mean. And then not to mention, just getting sober, I accomplished so much stuff in the first year. I got my license back. I had a job waiting for me. I had surgery. You know, I had some dental work done. I had a bunch of shit happen. You know, got off probation, all because, you know, like I gave this program an honest chance. And, you know, now that, you know, I have some time sober, you know, it's like, I remember when I was sober, when like my first week, I wanted that year, I wanted it tomorrow. But like now I'm like at that point, hopefully this doesn't change. And if it does, I don't want to hear about it. Cause I'm like, you know, I'm good living just this one day at a time. You know, like I'm gainfully employed. So the gentleman was speaking earlier about how this affects not just in here, but like the family outside also. You know, like my dad called me. This is the dude I used to rob from, steal everything. You know, funny story, when I made my mention to him, I gave him X amount of money, you know, hundreds of dollars, right? And that was just like a tip of the iceberg. And then he calls me like a week later and he's like, we didn't win anything at the casino with your restitution money. But I was happy for him. Because you know what? Like, that was his side of the street. That's his deal, you know? But it was just, you know, but he called me up one day and was like, hey, we're going out of town and you want to come watch my house and hang out with your son? And I'm like, yeah. Like, fuck yeah. You know, my brother's dad told me, like, you can't come around here no more because you're scaring my children. You know, you're a loser. You know, like, I'm like, and I believed him. Want me at their house, you know, watching their house and hanging out with my nephews, you know. And it's like, I knew this person was deep down inside. And like, for the longest time, I would, when people were like, where's the old Steve, you know, like your parents and friends were like, this is the old Steve, and they're like, no, this is a different one. I see what they're talking about now, you know, like I am that good guy now, you know, gainfully employed, you know, I have a good boss. I have a good boss, but I get to meet people like Kyle. I put him on blast, but that dude, I'm blessed to work where I work because I work with other people that have the same disease I do, and we're able to help each other, lend each other a hand in more ways than is explainable or describable, you know. And, you know, just to see, like, someone like himself with, you know, X amount of years more than me, like, what the potential is. Not just the physique, but, like, the mentality. You know what I mean? The mentality part. And the people that can't see, he's in good shape. You know what I mean? You know, on here, toot toot. But it's, you know, but it's like, it's the challenges that we give each other, you know? Like, I wouldn't be where I'm at today for just another reason for him, because he gave me this workout program to just try it. You know, and you know, it's been almost 2 years that I've worked out pretty steadily, you know, because I got big and probably got 240 pounds in my first year of sobriety, and now back down to like 190. You know, that's an accomplishment, because like I would have smoked it away, I would have drank it away, I would, you know, there's other ways of doing it a lot easier than what I had to go through in order to get to where I'm at, you know. And, you know, and being gainfully employed, about how it affects my life is, you know, like I can show up to work in a good mood. I'm not pissed off. I'm not driving to work drunk. I work overtime because I don't have to stay home and drink. I remember I have had plenty of jobs and I'm like, hey, who can stay late? And I would oh, no, not me. Because I had to go home and drink, like 100%. It's been too long. It's been 8 hours already. What do you mean?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, another blessing to the program, I do have contact with, you know, two of my children on a regular basis. The middle one, she's always been a pill, but she is who she is, you know? And whenever she's ready, 100%, then, you know, like, I'll be there. But, you know, it's like, when I said I got sober for my my wife, a girlfriend at the time, it was a reason. It was a reason to stay sober. But my real reason today is because it's for me. 100% for me, regardless if my children ever come back, regardless if my family, you know, turns away and runs away, whatever, anything can happen, I still gotta live in these two shoes that I put on every morning. Mm-hmm. You know, I still gotta be the same. This program is taught me to be the same person day in and day out. You know, there's no Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And not be ashamed to tell you guys my truth and to be proud of my accomplishments. You know, I don't have a lot, but I have a lot more than I've ever dreamed of. And so, I mean, I live in an SLE and, you know, I got a twin bed, you know. The old me would be embarrassed about that. Like, man, it's not big enough. I need a queen or a king, you know, because that's me. I'm a king, you know. But I went out yesterday and I bought a brand new mattress, a twin. You know what I mean? And that's like a big buy for me. I'm like, man, that's $300. And you know what I mean? You can't beat that, you know. And I got to sleep on it for the first time last night. First time in my life I've ever owned a bed, you know. And you're talking about a dude that sold his bed set and dressers for an ounce of dope one time because I wasn't sleeping. You know what I mean? So. You know, I'm blessed beyond means, and you know, I pray that I can give back what has been given to me. But this journey is just literally like an individual thing that, you know, just to watch somebody grow or be part of it. You know, it's just a miracle that we all found each other. You know, we are really passengers of that ship, right? That, you know, and you know how we make the most of it. You know. Because I'm as fucked up as the next person, but I'm not embarrassed of it today. And that's pretty much all I got.
Yay!
Awesome! Oh, one more time.
Yeah!
Good job.
Well, we have food in the back, probably. Mostly, usually we have stuff back there, so you're welcome to it. You clean it and clean us out, please, because I hate throwing it away. But really appreciate everybody for coming, and really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you.